6 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Live from the Aloe Fiber Studios today. Angel, I'm just not, you know, during COVID, a lot of radio stations and hosts and stuff were doing shows from, you know, remote locations, their house. They'd get the Comrex equipment is what we use for our broadcast and games and stuff. Well, some of us hosts will use that during crazy weather times and such. That's not for me, man. I'm in this, I love my home office. It's great. It's relaxing in there, but it's not really the setting that I want to be in when I'm doing a radio show. So I love being in this studio and getting to see Angel on the other side. You know what I'm going to start doing? I need a cutout of you, just like a life-size cutout of you that I can put in front of me so that it's like you're there. I'd probably feel a little bit better.
Wow, that's kind of flattering.
Kind of flattering. I appreciate that. Kind of flattering, maybe a little creepy.
A little. When you, like, the cutout made sense until you said a full body cutout.
I don't really need the full body one, I guess.
Because you don't see anything other than, like, my torso and up.
That's true. That's true. So I wouldn't need the full-size body cutout, I guess, if that makes you feel a little bit better. So work on that.
I get the reasoning, though. It makes sense.
It's just weird, you know? And then my kid. So my kid loves. He was sick last week. He's feeling much better now. And you know how I can tell? He is in a throwing phase. He throws everything. Things he can throw, things he's not supposed to throw. Well, the first day he started feeling better. My office is, of course, a Target because I have a lot of cool things in there. I go in there the other day, or yesterday morning or the day before that, and hadn't been in there in like a day or two. And there's just stuff everywhere. Stuff he'd thrown. I have this old school looking medieval chess set that I had to hide away. Found that. Still looking for the king on one of the sides. Still looking for that bad boy. But yesterday, it was like a zombie apocalypse. He is wanting to get in my office while I'm doing the show so badly yesterday. So my wife's down there. You could just hear him during break. He's like, no, you can't go in. He's like, I want in there. I can hear my dad's voice. Please let me in.
He's going crazy. He was talking to the walls.
It's the one. And then as soon as the show's done, no interest in being down.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine with
it. It's always when you're doing something.
He's like, I need to be in there more than anything in this world. I want to be down inside of that office. Because dad sounds like he's having a lot of fun, and there's clearly a lot of toys and breakable figures and neat things that go into an office to throw, and dad can't throw all those by himself, so I need to be in there. So I'm still finding remnants of things that were just chucked all over the place. We did get him a basketball hoop, though, a little one for the basement. He's starting to get it, dude. He's starting to get it down. Like, he's got the shot down. He's nice. Totally got the follow through.
Is he a lefty or?
He's a righty.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a righty for sure. You know, a year or two ago, everything was underhand, and now we're starting to aim, and he's got the follow through going. I have a lot of basketball on all the time, so he sees that, and we got a little Nikola Jokic there, or Jamal Murray, in the making, I think.
Just be careful with the ankles, because once he starts to cross over, it's over.
Oh, man.
He'll be all over the floor.
It's just so funny because I'm sitting there doing the show. I'm like, he's gonna get in here at some point. He's gonna bust through. He's gonna figure it out. I just know it. But my wife was able to stand guard for most part. And then again, as soon as I sign off, I look out. Nobody's there. It's like, oh, he doesn't want to be in here now. All right, great. But great to be back in studio. It was kind of a tough drive in this morning, actually. But got here. We're fine. Everybody's good. And then I hear warm-ups coming. So maybe we warm up for a little bit. We'll probably get dumped on another time or two before we're out of the woods because we're approaching March. March is typically very snowy. So just gear up. We're not going to be out of the woods just yet. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Angel, the news came when I was sitting in here this morning with Brian that Vance Joseph is now the head, defensive coordinator. Freudian slip there, maybe, because he was the head coach like 5 days ago, it seemed like. He's the defensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos. Sean Payton went with Vance. Susan and Cheryl seem to like that. Do we like that? Is that good? I mean,
it's a coaching hire. You hired somebody.
Listen, Vance isn't, like, as far as the big defensive minds. He was up and coming when the Broncos hired him as a big defensive mind, although Miami's defense wasn't great when he was there. But that was enough for John Elway. They loved the interview process, and it went, you know, obviously very south for Vance Joseph in his time in Denver. But here he is. You know, one of the questions I have just right off the bat is, it, you know, is that going to be awkward for Vance? Clearly, they're getting past that. But all the rumors you heard when Vance Joseph was the coach was that John Elway wanted more of a yes man head coach to so that he could tell him who to play and here's who we're drafting, here's how I want you to do it, and da 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 da. Is that going to be awkward at all? Now, it's not like John Elway is really running around headquarters anymore. He's still a part of the team, but as we know, he elevated his position. He moved up in the ranks by relinquishing all of his important tasks. Vance is the defensive coordinator, Vance Joseph. So Vic Fangio and Vance Joseph were certainly two of the big names that were in the mix for defensive coordinator. We knew, obviously, that Vic decided to follow through and stick with the Miami Dolphins. So you got that. The other names, Rex Ryan was in the mix. Matt Patricia was in the mix for the job. Now I'm also hearing that Patricia's not out yet, that he could potentially be the linebackers coach for the Broncos. Is that beneath him right now? I mean, he's still, when he's the defensive coordinator, he's still good. But obviously those jobs are running out now because this was one of the last ones to fill. And there were, I don't know, there was an uneasiness amongst Broncos country, perhaps, and some of the media members about how long it's been taking Sean Payton to fill his coaching staff. In fact, so much so, a reporter gets on Twitter last night and decides to go at Sean Payton in this process. And then Sean Payton clapped back. It was very interesting. This whole thing was interesting. Sean Payton, in and of himself, is an interesting study here, how this whole thing is going on. But I guess the poll question today, and again, I do want to talk about Vance Joseph and stuff, but Eric Goodman, who does a morning show in Denver, he tweeted out, where did he tweet this? I can't seem to find it. Oh, and the Broncos actually even replied to the tweet. Eric Goodman tweeted, the story broke about Sean Payton becoming the Broncos head coach 24 days ago. Has it been 24 days already? Has it seriously been that long? February is a blur. He goes on to say, right now he has 6 coaches on his staff, including himself, and has 12 more to fill, including everyone on defense. Please don't sell me a pile of garbage. He's taking his time. This is embarrassing. I mean, embarrassing? I guess the way I look at it, and I'm kind of subscribing to Sean Payton's whole philosophy of slow to hire, quick to fire. Because over the years with Vance Joseph and Vic Fangio and Nathaniel Hackett, none of these coordinators have worked out. I mean, Giro Evero worked out for a year. But outside of that, none of the coordinators really worked out. So I don't think that there's necessarily a gigantic blueprint on how to do this, because the way they were doing it was hurry, 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 get these guys in, and that didn't work out. Now, I was becoming a little concerned as we get closer and closer to free agency and stuff, that, okay, well, don't you want to know who your coordinators are so you can fill the positions? I mean, if you're a 3-4 defense, 4-3 defense, what did Vance run? Vance ran a 3-4 defense. So that will be similar to what Giro did, to what Fangio did. So, again, that's one of the reasons to move on and try to hurry up and get your coaches hired. But you got your defensive coordinator taken care of, and Sean Payton will be essentially the offensive coordinator. So this, I wasn't in the mood at this point you know, this week anyway, of tweeting out anything like, hurry up, man. What's taking so long? Not that concerned. Sean Payton replied to Eric Goodman and said 16 with 5 to go. So basically Goodman said he has 12 more to fill, or he said, including himself, he has 12 more to fill, including one on defense. He has 6 coaches. Well, Payton replies 16 with 5 to go. So not 12. He said, we'll fill you in when we're ready. Any issues with that? That's our poll question today. Do you have any issues with Sean Payton clapping back to the media? A specific guy, too. It wasn't like a vague tweet that was just like, hey, we're making progress here. Here we go. Is that, I think Brian said it best, is that a precursor? Is that something like a red flag? Nathaniel Hackett had many red flags that a lot of us ignored because it was a really exciting time and Hackett said all the right things. But now looking back, there were certainly some red flags. He was giddy about Russell Wilson. Sean Payton has not been giddy about anybody, including Russell Wilson. Is that one of the things that where if things go awry next year and they struggle and the media starts going at it the way we do, I'm not innocent with this either. Is he going to start replying back to that stuff too? And then it's going to get just awkward. Is it a red? This one in and of itself is not that big a deal.
No, I mean, I personally am not a fan of coaches on social media. I think there are set up places for them to speak directly to the media. If they need to say something, they can, you know, hey, I want to have a press conference and say something. And it lends itself to, okay, how often is he on Twitter? Is he actually checking this stuff? Is he actually following or liking these posts? How much time is he spending on Twitter? You know, and anybody and everybody could say whatever they want to him. And there's a good chance if it pops up on his notifications, he might be looking at it. He might be feeding it. And, you know, how much time is he actually spending on Twitter? Who knows? I can't imagine it's a lot, but I don't like it.
Okay. There you go. That's you're drawing your line. You don't like it. Well, here's what I'll say about the whole hurrying up to get your coordinators. Angel, was the process slower than normal because he was doing media still during Super Bowl week?
I think that's certainly possible.
And does that mean you ran out of some of your top choices? You didn't get some of your top choices to come in. These are the things that I look at. Am I overly concerned on February 23rd that it took this long to get your defensive coordinator set, to get most of these hires done? I'm not overly concerned.
I mean, I could see it where Payton would tell the GM or the owners, hey, these are the top 3 guys I want. Get them in for interviews. I'm going to go down to Arizona and do this stuff. I'll be with you guys next week. And the owners and GM have those interviews, and the person sitting there saying, well, I want to take this job, but Sean's not here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk to Sean.
Should he have bowed out of his contract? I don't know what the legalities were of that. If he was with Fox still and had to fulfill his duties through the end of the season, then maybe he doesn't have a choice and you just kind of have to say, well, that was on the Broncos. They knew he was going to have to go an extra week of media coverage. But here we are at this point, most recent updates for the Broncos. Vance Joseph, obviously defensive coordinator. He will retain defensive backs coach Christian Parker and defensive line coach Marcus Dixon. Matt Patricia could join Denver as their linebacker coach. That is still a very real thing. Kerry Colbert was their wide receivers coach. Got that taken care of a couple of days ago. He played in the NFL on and off from 04 to 2011. Got the Lonster. Lonster, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, my man. What's on your mind?
Hey, you know what? I'm doing good, too. Hey, can I make a comment on this Sean Payton thing real quick?
You sure can.
Oh, fantastic. You know what? I think he took his time doing this. I mean, he wasn't a coach that was going to rush in and get a coach immediately.
So you think that it's, you know, you're okay with taking all your time to do this and whatever. Even the Super Bowl week where he was spending a lot of time doing media work, that doesn't bug you at all?
No, it don't. I mean, to me, I think they told him, take your time in doing this, and I think he did it the right way.
Well, but you know what? I don't seem to have any issues, and I don't really have an issue with Vance Joseph. You just hope that it doesn't. You know, Vic Fangio was quick to hire Rick Scangarello, and then that didn't work out. And then they were quick to hire Pat Shurmur soon after. Obviously, that didn't work out. So, yeah, you have your issues there, but, I mean, Vance Joseph's name was in the mix pretty much since Sean Payton was hired. So was that his number one candidate? I'm not sure, but he's the number one candidate now because he's got the job.
Yeah. Well, you know, I kind of had a feeling that Vance Joseph was going to get it for some reason. I don't know why, but I just had this feeling that something was going to work out there.
Well, we'll see if it does.
Yeah, that's all we can do.
It's
you know?
Strange. Just a few years ago, he was the head coach of the Broncos, and now he's back in the facility. He won't need directions how to get there. He'll know how to get there, so that's good.
Well, you know, Wade Phillips was in that position, too.
Yeah, but it was much longer time in between. You know, Wade was a head coach, what, in the early 90s for a bit? And then that was several years later. He comes back, and he is a part of the Peyton Manning group. This one's just different because it's only been 4 years since Vance Joseph was the head coach.
True, but you know what? Things work out. We'll just have to see what happens.
All right, what's for lunch today, man?
I'm having some chicken strips and some Ritz crackers or some crackers, whatever I can find in the pantry, and some cherry tomatoes.
Cherry tomatoes, man. Even on these cold days, you're still you're cherry tomato in it.
You know what? It sounds good no matter what.
All right, my man. Thanks for the call.
Hey, you too.
First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. If you want to call the program, you can, 970-353-1310. Do you guys have any issue with Sean Payton clapping back to media members expressing concern about his slow hiring process? Let me read a couple of your comments here. Tommy says he doesn't need the media telling him how to do his job. Tom says Goodman is a troll, just like Marilat, okay, that's a Denver guy. I'm glad he is being thorough and not just hiring anyone off the street. Lane says, I thought his reply was hilarious. Aaron says, the reporter stated it, stating, don't sell me a pile of garbage. Did he really think he would get a serious answer with that? I don't know. He got an answer, though. The reporter got an answer. Listen, I don't agree with the whole "don't fill me with garbage, don't put out garbage and tell me that you're just taking your time." That's what he's doing. Whether you like it or not, that is what he's doing. Also, Aaron saying, "Why would I be mad about him taking his time to get his staffing right? He probably pushes back because he can." Would anybody have an issue if Belichick did it? I wouldn't and don't. Good for him. Well, two things. The question is not, are you mad about him taking his time? The question is, do you have any issues with him responding to the media? I'm just going to say it to put it, you know, because I can't figure out the words. Lowering himself to respond to a media member. Even if it was me, it'd be strange. It'd be like, whoa, Sean Payton's taking the time to respond to me. Because this Goodman guy, it's not like he's the king of Denver media, right? And I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying he's probably not the most popular Denver media guy in the history of the world. But you took the time to respond. Would you have an issue if Belichick did it? Belichick did it. He doesn't do it, though. Like, the great coaches typically don't bother with social media. Players are starting to engage more with social media, but you don't really see coaches clap back. It is a unique thing. And I don't know if Sean Payton had a habit of doing that in New Orleans, or if the media days have kind of given him a little feist where he wants to fire back a little bit. That's the poll question. Go answer it. Hey, when we come back, let's talk more about Vance Joseph and what that might look like. Kevin Lytle will join me from the Fort Collins, Colorado one as well, so we're looking forward to that. We will have a version of the Dalen Kuntz Show coming up in the 12 o'clock hour as the Bears are about to wrap up the regular season. Hasn't been a great season for them, but they do seem to appear to be a dangerous team going into the Big Sky Conference tournament. So we'll talk about that coming up later on in the program. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. Hear Coach Speak weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. I want to remind you guys about Battleground Pro Wrestling. This has been a fun thing for us to talk about. Coming up, another big one in March at the Greeley Rec Center, Saturday, March 4th. Doors open up at 5:30. The show starts at 6. You can meet the wrestlers before the show from 4:30 to 5:30. Some big matchups are going to be happening. See Downfall Cathedral taking on J.K. Pop in a tag team matchup, along with other great matches, including Gino Told You So Rivera, who we interviewed on this show. But apparently, he's going against us. He wants the support of Good Morning NoCo. He's like, I like those guys better. So I'm going all in on Tamillion Venish, man. He's my guy now. I'm rooting for him 100%. That's the main event. Tickets can be found at BattlegroundProWrestling.com. That's BattlegroundProWrestling.com. Our poll question of the day, any issue with Sean Payton clapping back to media members expressing concern about his slow hiring process? Go vote at theholeshow.com. I'm guessing I know the answer. It does seem like most of you are in the camp of, nope, that guy deserved it. Although, I'm wrong. 60% of the hooligans are saying, yeah, I do have a little bit of an issue with that. I'm not crazy about him firing up the old Twitter box there and getting after a reporter. Not that he really got after him. He just said, hey, here's the actual count, and we'll let you know when we're done. 63% now saying yes. There you go. Well, if it makes you feel any better, those that are saying you're concerned, he is filling up his coaching staff. They are getting it done. And he got his defensive coordinator in Vance Joseph. We'll talk more about that throughout the day today. Also, the Nuggets are back in action going up against Cleveland. We got a big Thursday night game also as far as football goes. Haven't done a Thursday night special in weeks on Gel. So we got a special Thursday night special coming up for the XFL and Thursday night football. This is going to be a lot of fun. 32 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Born to be wild, we got the wild man, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, on the show here. No Rams Weekly tonight. We were supposed to have Eaton Aspen last night for our Preps basketball state playoff coverage, but the weather, of course, changed our plan. So we have that game tonight. So we'll jump in all things Rams Weekly next week. Kevin, my man, there's a lot I want to talk about. We can talk about CSU Wyoming tomorrow night, although that matchup's not nearly as interesting as I thought it was going to be at the beginning of the season. Let's talk about the Mountain West as a whole, Kevin, as far as basketball goes. I'm watching New Mexico and Boise State last night. That was a pretty fun game. This conference is very good. I think I heard on the call, Kevin, somebody said, you know this conference is good when Nico Medved's team is at the bottom of the barrel, which I thought was kind of a nice compliment to CSU.
Yes, probably not the compliment Nico Medved would like.
But
no, it is true. I mean, yeah, you're right. This Wyoming CSU game, no one thought would be, you know, basically bow for the bottom. But the league is so good this year that even, yeah, obviously CSU and Wyoming individually are not having the seasons they want. But if you look, you know, the metrics are still pretty decent. You know, CSU specifically, they're 117 in net, which again isn't where they want to be, but that's, you know, far from a terrible number. This league is just so, so good. I mean, yeah, you mentioned that game last night was a good one. Really nice comeback from Boise. Boise's one of those kind of every time you know, you're like, well, I'm not sure they can win this one. They find a way to win, you know, kind of grind out a victory, and they keep doing it, and they're right in that title race. This league is so good. I think three bids minimum. I think they can get a fourth. if some things fall right. But I think it's a minimum three-bid league, which is great for the league after getting four last year. If you're getting three and four every year, that's a great sign.
Well, you got five teams with 20 wins or more. And yeah. Every time I watch New Mexico, Kevin, I'll be honest, I was getting up early today, so I knew that. I watched the first half of the New Mexico-Boise State game, and it felt like New Mexico was just flat out in control. Every time I watch them, I think, how did they lose like four in a row? What's going on with this team? But here they are. And then, as you said, the Broncos came back and they ended up winning fairly, you know, by at least 10 or so last night. New Mexico's really freaking good, though. They just are, you got a great conference.
Yeah, I think New Mexico, you know, for me, they're probably my most entertaining team. Like, if it's, you know, sort of the old NBA league pass question, you know, which is the team that you just want to watch because they're fun. To me, that's New Mexico in the Mountain West, because they can be, you know, crazy good, you know, like they did the CSU in the pit when they hit all those threes. They can be pretty erratic and bad like they were against Air Force, but they're just entertaining. They play fun basketball, but they do kind of rive a pretty wild wave, you know, even within games. And we saw that a bit last night. So they're a really fun team. Don't do it as consistently as they need to. You know, some depth and injury problems hit them a little bit, but they're really fun. And yeah, if you're San Diego State, Boise State, Nevada, you know, kind of those top couple teams, you don't really want to be seeing New Mexico early in that Mountain West tournament.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I'm really, even though the Rams, who knows? We'll see what the Rams can do in this tournament. But this is some of the best basketball, at least for me. And I get it; it's a local tie, and I've been following the Mount West for a while, especially since you and I have been talking on this program. So I'm really pumped about that tournament. That's going to be exciting. When you look at these teams, though, Kevin, the teams at the top, you know, San Diego State obviously is a great team. The Broncos, Nevada, Utah State, even New Mexico. Do you see any of those teams making some real noise come March Madness time?
Yeah, this is the next big question. Obviously, the first thing is who gets in. But the Mountain West, we know, has not been winning in the tournament. And, you know, some of it's fluky. You know, you get random one-off matchups in tournament, and a lot of that is fluky. But it's been enough that you really need the Mountain West to win. And I can see both. You know, Boise State, like I say, they find a way to win games, but they have no depth at all. So injuries or foul trouble, you know, could really sink them. Nevada, you know, likewise, you know, this group hasn't really been the tournament, and they've been not erratic. Obviously, they have a great record, but a little inconsistent. And San Diego State, you know, we thought they had fixed their scoring issues, and they sure haven't. So, you know, if you get a team that can match them length and athleticism and defensive-wise, they could struggle. So I can talk myself into all these teams making a Sweet 16, and I can talk myself into all of them losing in the first round because they all do have flaws that could be exposed, but are also pretty darn good teams. So it's, you know, as always in the tournament, it's going to come down to some matchups. I really think San Diego State is winning at least a game because they're going to get a good seed. I think, you know, they've had enough struggles over the last couple of years that they're going to find a way to, but you know, those Nevada and Boise's, while their records are great and right now they're pretty comfortable, you know, they could still end up as a 10 seed or something and not have a great matchup.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, though. Either way you slice it, we think there should be a good showing in the big dance with some of these teams, but you just never know because historically it doesn't really work out that way. Well, if you're playing the Broncos, all you got to do is have your baseball team hanging out in the near the locker room at halftime, and then you can probably beat them, don't you think?
Yeah, that irritates them, we'll say.
Bring the baseball team out. That'll get them. Kevin, is San Diego State going to the Pac-12?
It seems like it. There's a lot of smoke about it. It's fairly logical. I mean, they obviously do not replace UCLA and USC and own that Southern California market or anything, but it would give the Pac-12, you know, another little toehold in it. So it sure seems to be moving that way. I'm to the point where I'll be more surprised if they don't than if they do.
Yeah, that's who knows if that's a great move either. I mean, Apple TV and the Pac-12 or might be working on a new TV deal. I had Mark Johnson on yesterday, who is a Pac-12 guy, and he was, I got to tell you, Kevin, he was not optimistic. He was pretty down on the Pac-12's future. I don't even know what that's going to look like. I still don't know what all of this is going to look like in the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and no one does. You know, if we did, you know, we probably wouldn't be talking on radio right now. We'd probably be, you know, picking out our third mansion to live in because we'd be making that much money. But yeah, I mean, it sure, everything you're reading is that the Pac-12 is getting nowhere near what it thought it could in the next TV deal, which obviously that's the big talker. And, you know, frankly, the reason Washington, well, one of the reasons I should say Washington, Oregon are kind of hanging on is to wait and see what happens. But if the Pac-12 gets a bad deal, they, you know, they'll put up the for sale sign and say, hey, Big 10, Big 12, if either you want us, come get us. And then, you know, certainly if those programs were to leave the Pac-12, you know, I still don't think it'll disintegrate in name, but it may, you know, end up losing some members and becoming a merger or something. But yeah, if that TV deal, you know, ends up pretty poor, it could be poor being a very, very relative term, of course, but it could be big trouble for the Pac-12.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like even if you don't have the Pac-12 network right now, you can still catch, I think CU's playing USC on ESPN2 tonight. You can still catch games, a lot of Pac-12 games, but I'm kind of, to my understanding somewhat, Kevin, is if this Apple TV deal goes through, they might box all of it out where they would say it's all or nothing. I mean, is that the vibe you get, or would ESPN and Fox still get to play some of those games?
Yeah, it seems like it's hard to tell how much is kind of public jockeying and how much is, you know, what's actually going to happen, because I can see both ways. I can see in some ways that, you know, ESPN, Fox saying, you know, we've got the Big Ten and the Big 12 and that's kind of all we need. But I could also obviously see, especially if, you know, Oregon, for instance, is staying, those networks wanting a little bit of that. So it's hard to say. There's just so many intertwined and layered conversations with this that's just so complex. And obviously only so many people are truly in that conversation.
Kevin, at the beginning of last football season, it felt like something was going to change quickly. When we heard, you know, USC, UCLA leaving the Pac-12, we started wondering, with all these TV deals, what's that going to mean? Maybe we'll see something change fast. Then the talk was, well, what's going to happen to the Group of Five conferences? And then that died down. We expanded the college football playoffs. We got into the season, and that started to die down a little bit. Now it feels like it's ramping back up. What does all of this mean ultimately for the Mountain West Conference? I mean, can they survive this? Or you know, and a lot of the things we've talked about is, do we just see the SEC and the Big Ten do their own thing, and then the FBS remains with this, with the rest? Where does the Mountain West end up in all of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I think, you know, like I said, it looks like San Diego State's probably going to go. Right now, it looks like everyone is freezing Boise State out, which is interesting in a lot of ways. Fresno State's name keeps popping up, which is in some ways even more fascinating because, you know, no offense to our good friends in Fresno, but I'm not sure what they bring to the table. UNLV keeps popping up mostly because of the Vegas market, not really because of anything UNLV does. So it's kind of fascinating what's going on. You know, the Mountain West is going to survive in a way, but survive and thrive, you know, that's the big question. It's too soon to say. You know, I still think even if San Diego State leaves, I think Mountain West, you know, even in that case, would still be pretty well positioned to probably be the best Group of Five. It'd be interesting to see what additions they maybe would make. And where, you know, especially with the new commissioner, what she would do moving forward. But anyone that says that they know what's going to happen is a liar, I guess, is the thing. Or maybe they're overly optimistic about their prognosticating abilities because it's just so unpredictable right now.
How much is, like, current success right now, like if you see the Mountain West go on and you see three of the teams really go on and make some noise in March Madness, how much of, like, the immediate success of the Mountain West will play a role in all of this, you know, when it comes to the Mountain West getting more opportunities, maybe even having some more clout when it comes to negotiating possible TV deals and such going forward. How much of that immediate success really, really will impact this, I wonder? Because, again, yeah. I think a lot of people nationally do look at the Mountain West Conference on basketball right now, and a lot of them are pretty impressed.
Yeah. I mean, certainly every bit helps. You know, success is never bad. So that helps. But you know, on the flip side, football is still the needle mover. Basketball, you know, men's basketball is, you know, useful, but, you know, it's not the huge driver in all these moves. I can't think of a single one of these moves that was made, you know, with basketball in mind. The only one that could be is all the chatter about Gonzaga moving. Obviously, that would be basketball based, but it helps. But, you know, I'm not sure completely changes the trajectory, you know, one way or another.
Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And these are fascinating conversations. It's one of the reasons I actually like or love college sports is because the NFL, the NBA, other than a few weird tweaks here and now, they're not going to do a lot of these massive changes. You potentially, we've already seen it. We've seen the college football playoff. We've seen it expand. We've seen teams jumping ship for years now, going to different conferences. I don't know if it's always the best for fans, but it certainly makes sports talk radio entertaining, Kevin.
Yeah, plenty to talk about, that's for sure.
All right, so tomorrow night we do have Wyoming and CSU. That will be on FS1, 7 o'clock. But as you mentioned to start the segment, it's important because you're trying to stay out of the bottom. And I hate that we have to say that, but that's kind of why it's important tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And, you know, I think both these teams at least like to think that they can make a run in the Mountain West Tournament. You know, there's a possibility New Mexico could slip into that sixth spot, which would face the number 11 team. You don't want to play New Mexico in the first round of the Mountain West Tournament if you're, you know, trying to make a run. And yeah, a lot of it is just bragging rights. You know, when you're having a down season, you don't want to be bottom, especially for CSU. To end up bottom, it would pretty much mean that they lost twice to Wyoming, which obviously would be a bad taste in the mouth. So yeah, it's a pride game for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you also want to try to get some momentum going into the tournament and all that good stuff too. So how about on the women's side, quickly, Kevin, while we have you here? It's a very interesting mix up here. Obviously, UNLV sitting at 15-0, but you have San Diego State, CSU, and Wyoming all sitting at 11-5.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. If you look at even 2 through 6 in the Mountain West women's side, are separated by one loss in the loss column, and that's where I look. Don't look, you know, it's not even worth looking at wins because everyone will end up at the same point as far as games played. But in the loss column, you know, you could end up literally anywhere from 2nd to 6th in this last week of games. And CSU, they play Saturday at Wyoming, who they're tied with in record. And then they finish with Boise State, who's one game behind CSU in the loss column. So I guess the positive, you know, view for CSU is they kind of control their own destiny. If they win 2 games, they'll finish either 2nd or 3rd. But if they lose 2, you know, they could make a tumble down the standing. So it's a really important final week for CSU. Because you really want to be in either that 2 or 3 slot so that you don't face UNLV until the conference championship game.
Yeah, some big ones coming up. And that game for CSU against Wyoming at 7:30, that will be a big one as well. Kevin, always appreciate you, my man. And we'll look to catch up with you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Brady.
All right, man. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And let's take a short break. I'll wrap up this hour. We got the Lunch Rush coming up soon in a few minutes. And then we'll catch up with Dalen Kuntz as well. The UNC Bears, another team, trying to get hot at the right time before they approach their conference tournament. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear local coaches, players, and more with Coach Speak. Weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Excited to see the Nuggets back in action tonight and all of the NBA back in action. Felt like a while, but Denver's playing in Cleveland tonight. The Nuggets are 2.5-point underdogs in that game, but no Aaron Gordon. And maybe, Maybe no Jamal Murray. We're saying he's, what did you say, officially listed as questionable?
Officially questionable. He told reporters Tuesday, I'm playing.
I mean, these are all, you got 23 games left. You know, if you want to maintain that spot in the Western Conference, then, you know, all these games become pretty important. They are 5 games ahead of Memphis, but all it takes is a bad stretch and Memphis to get hot, and you could lose that spot there. Sacramento is 8 games behind Denver. You know, again, you can lock this bad boy up the first 10, 15 games after the All-Star game. So you need to, you know, every game is just critical at this stage tonight. But Cleveland, not a bad team at all. 38-23, you know, they're probably not a real contender, I wouldn't imagine, but you got some players, man. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell has been amazing for this team. They moved on from Kevin Love, but he wasn't really part of the rotation anymore. But Donovan Mitchell's doing his thing. He's averaging about 27 points per game. You got Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, around 15 points per game and 9 rebounds per game. So Cleveland's a tough battle tonight for sure for the Nuggets. But now it's all about, hey, do you think Joker maintains that triple-double? Every game now is pretty crucial. Does he grab a triple-double tonight, Angel? What do you think?
I think he does.
I think he does, too. I think he goes off tonight. You got to keep it going, man, because you know he's right on that cusp. He's right over the 10 assists per game. He's at 10.1. So you want to get that 10 tonight. You want to maintain that. And because, again, this helps my argument of talking about Nikola Jokic approaching top 10 status, which apparently just gets people really riled up, man. They don't like that take. But if you start doing stuff that's historical, you have to have historical discussions. And that's where you are with Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, and I hope this team comes out with a bit of a chip on their shoulder. You know, maybe they felt really disrespected over the break.
Even their superstar.
Jokic, specifically Jokic.
Yeah.
And even Malone a little bit. He kind of got, you know, maybe not discredited, but he obviously didn't enjoy the All-Star break either.
Because this team is just different than what you're seeing a lot in the NBA. You know, Michael Malone's approach to things, and I'm not saying other coaches don't approach things the way Michael Malone does, and Malone's not untouchable. He's not, you know, his defense sometimes lacks, but this team is all about the passing and moving the ball around. And so when you put Nikola Jokic and Michael Malone and his coaching staff in the All-Star game, yeah, it's not their style. Which is kind of weird that they got nominated to do to be. I guess it's an honor, but you don't really say coaches are all-stars. Just who's coaching the all-star game? I would imagine Michael Malone and his group would have much rather taken a few days off and go on vacation or something. But they're back at it tonight going up against Cleveland. It's an early game, 5 o'clock. It'll give you plenty of time to wrap that one up and get set for the big XFL game tonight. The showdown between the Battle Hawks and the Sea Dragons. We'll talk about that later on in the program. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Lunch Rush coming up next.